I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, not just Overtime, it's a special NBA draft edition of Overtime. I'm Chris Nockey, joined by Zach Brook in the studio here, Linnell Willingham with me also, and we're going to take a hard left-hand turn as we pay attention to the NBA draft. The Orlando Magic are on the clock right now, expected to pick Jalen Suggs, but things are moving fast and furious elsewhere in the sports world, and like I said, we're going to take a hard turn and talk to our resident seam head and the voice of the afternoons here on 106.7 The Fan. That would be Grant Paulson. Grant, appreciate your time here, man. Hate to bother you at home, but man, things are moving. It's crazy. You must be paying attention to all the scuttlebutt on Twitter right now.
What a day, Chris. Anything going on? Russell Westbrook's a Laker, and Max Scherzer and Trey Turner might be in the same deal to L.A.
But so, what a week, yeah. Though. I mean, it's really the entire week. You get Ovi who re-ups and... You know, you get so many different moving parts here. And Beal, of course, there's speculation about Beal the entire week, too. It doesn't look like that's going to come to pass. But, man, what do you
see? Yeah, the Nats had a COVID outbreak of 12 people, yeah. And the Capitals reacquired a goalie that just got plucked from them in expansion draft. And those are like the 11th and 12th weirdest things that happened in the last 7 days. Nuts. But the report right now from Jeff Passan of ESPN is that he's saying that significant progress has been made in the Nationals' conversations with the Dodgers. Now, Max Scherzer to L.A. has been the rumor for several days. I've heard for 2 or 3 days they were the favorite. It came out this afternoon that the Padres might be closest to landing him. But this passing report wasn't just that they're close to a Scherzer deal, but talk about a blockbuster, that the Dodgers could be acquiring Scherzer and Trey Turner in the same deal. And I've been very adamant that I thought it would be a mistake to trade Trey Turner because you're trying to win next year, and all these guys we're talking about being moved like Scherzer have contracts that are expiring, but Turner doesn't. He's under contract through next season, and you can try to re-sign him. But Mike Rizzo came on the Junkies yesterday, Chris, and he said, if we're going to trade Trey Turner, which it didn't sound like he was planning on doing, it's going to be because we can get, and I'm going to paraphrase, a boatload of stuff that we need. And I can't imagine to put Scherzer, who's the number one player at this deadline as far as rentals go, in a deal with Turner, who far and away would be the number one player because of his controllability, traded at the deadline in the same package. I mean,
they could
restock their entire system if they hit a home run here, which is one of the worst systems in baseball.
So what? I know that you're like us. We're sort of flying blind here a little bit, and I'll include the fact that we've got very limited Wi-Fi here in the studio. But what could possibly be the package that you could get back for two guys like that? I mean, you're talking about it's franchise altering on both sides. I mean, I agree with you on the sure. Trey Turner thing and the controllability of Trey, and also the fact that he's a homegrown guy. You know, as popular as Max is, you know, he's great free agent signing, great 7-year run, phenomenal personality, great fighter. But you add to the on the Trey side the fact that he was sort of born and raised here. I know he came from San Diego and all that. I mean, I'm aware of the Trey, but it feels a little painful to lose a guy like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's doubly painful. You know, you're losing two loved ones in one fell swoop, potentially. And again, we don't know that this will go through, but they're making progress according to Passan. So, I mean, first things first, you know, the report right now out of AAA is that Keibert Ruiz has been taken out of the lineup tonight and isn't going to play. Keibert Ruiz is the number one prospect in the Dodgers system. He's a catcher at AAA who's played in the big leagues. Baseball America in their new top 100 named him the 16th best prospect in baseball. I love Keibert Ruiz. I've been watching him in the Futures game the last couple of years. I mean, he would immediately become the best prospect in that system. That goes without saying. They don't really have guys other than Cade Cavalli, who's a right-handed pitcher they drafted last year in the top 100. Now, we don't know that he would be in that deal, but I can promise you if the Nats trade Max Scherzer and Trey Turner to the Dodgers, Keibert Ruiz would be a centerpiece. But that's not it, right? You would,
right?
Because you're trading Turner, I think the haul for him would be something like three or four players, at least two of whom who could help you in the next calendar year, who are highly regarded, and at least two of them would have to be blue chip prospects. For Max, I think you'd have to add another high-end prospect. So in my opinion, for me to hit the yes button, the accept button on a trade offer if I'm Mike Rizzo, we're talking about five or six player package or more, I mean, of really good high-end prospects and young major leaguers. Or, if you're going quantity, like six, seven in pieces, if I got to throw someone else in, to make it work, Josh Harrison or whoever, we can figure that out. But this would have to be a franchise-altering, system-rebooting deal, period. So I would think, frankly, they could get from a really good system in L.A., maybe three of their six or seven best prospects, something that would immediately be the three of the top four in Washington and be two or three guys that would be starting for them at some point next year. Because Mike Rizzo's not going to, in my opinion, move on from Trey Turner in 2022 without getting guys back that are close. They're not going to be trading for 18-year-olds in A-ball and 19-year-olds who are at A+. They're going to be trading for double and triple-A players that they've been able to scout who they feel like are future big league impact contributors.
How does this play here? Okay, so you have incredible access, Grant, and you're very, very knowledgeable. You do so much work for MLB on SiriusXM. So you have access and you know these players and you know the potential haul. But the perception here for sports fans, it's just on the heels of Rendon, on the heels of the Strasburg contract that now feels like such an albatross, and on the it's a tough sell. And I know we all have short memories, and if these guys pan out over the course of the next two or three years, I mean explain the sell here.
So I think what you just said is what it's got to be, right? They have to be right. I think they'll take their lumps perhaps initially. I don't know how many people were mad that they traded Lucas Giolito, even though he was pitching really well when they won the World Series, right? Because Adam Eaton was a key contributor. If these guys pan out and you win, assuming that this deal comes to fruition, and again, we should point out, right now it's just a Jeff Passan report, even though he is the most plugged-in reporter at ESPN covering baseball, and he says they're making progress. That's different terminology than saying that a deal is imminent. But let's say that they do pull it off. I think it is a tough sell initially because it's going to be hard for me. Like, I love the idea of rebooting the system.
Yeah, I do
but
too.
If this was a one-off where you're trading Trey Turner to do that and you hadn't allowed all of the other guys like Trey Turner previously over the last several years to walk out the door, it would be a lot easier for me to stomach. But this is more evidence of an inability to pay market value for big-time bats. You didn't do it with Harper. No problem, Juan Soto's a superstar. You didn't do it with Rendon. No problem, we got Trey Turner, who's coming to his own as an MVP player. At some point, you don't have another guy, and we've reached that point. You've seen it. I mean, Carter Kieboom at third or Starlin Castro at third.
Yep.
They haven't replaced Anthony Rendon. It hasn't worked. It's not like when they could let Harper leave because they've got these up-and-coming outfielders led by Juan Soto, who's going to be one of the biggest stars in the game. So I think fans, understandably and rightfully so, should be dubious and skeptical about whether or not they'll be able to pay Soto. I think they should be frustrated by the fact that Trey Turner, you know, didn't end up being a lifer if he gets traded. But the one thing I would say on the other side to the Nats' credit is, you know, at some point, you have to decide, are we going to be able to lock this guy up or not? And if he's going to want Lindor money and they know they can't do that, they will get more tonight or tomorrow than they can get at any point. And maybe that's what Mike Rizzo's deciding. And then the other thing, Chris, would just have to be that they have to – I think as a fan, what you want to know is that you still have a chance to win. And there's a big difference between getting a haul of a bunch of low-level minor leaguers and you're 4 years away. Whereas if the package that comes back, if three of those guys are reporting to the big leagues in the next 2 weeks who are 23 to 25 years old, I think that could be very different as well in terms of the perception and the ability of Rizzo to go on the junkies next week and sell. This was about 2022. Like, we will be competitive. Instead of having just Trey Turner, let's say, who was going to have to be paid at 30 and we'd have had to pay for, you know, a declining guy with a skill set that doesn't age well as a fast player, now we've got four controllable players at catcher, second base, outfielder, and let's say Josiah Gray in the rotation, who's the Dodgers' best pitching prospect. You know, something like that. It would be a much easier sell if you're seeing those guys at the big leagues rather than having to drive to Fredericksburg or Harrisburg.
Yeah, and I get that, and I trust in Mike Rizzo. I really do. I mean, I think he's done a really good job as the GM. I just, you know, the fact of the matter is, from an organizational perspective, Grant, they've hit since 2012, they've hit basically on one free agent, and that was Max, and they did it with a lot of back end money, and they did it at the time. People thought that they had overpaid for Max. But I mean, the free agent experience, you know, with the pending Juan Soto, you know, free agency, it has not been a positive one for this organization.
Well, when you juxtapose it, Chris, with trades, I mean, it's stark. It's unbelievable. And that's another area where, again, I would have mixed feelings, and I'm holding out judgment on. I got to see what they would get back. Obviously, right?
Yeah.
If you get a package back that I love, okay, I'm on board. If they don't do well enough, then I'm going to crush it and lambast it, and I'm going to hate it. Having said that, I think with Rizzo, whereas free agency has been, to your point, at times there's been plenty of misses. You know, whether you want to put Worth in the win-or-loss column, you mentioned Scherzer, there's a few others. His trade history here is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, the Trey Turner trade is one of, and I'm not being hyperbolic, that's one of the best trades in the history of baseball. Mm-hmm. He got Joe Ross and Trey Turner for Steve Souza. Like, how does that happen? That should be illegal. I mean, there are others like Doug Fister for Steve Lombardozzi and Wilson Ramos for Matt Capps. And I mean, they've done a really, really good job. They traded Christian Guzman for two low-level guys no one had heard of. One of them turned into Tanner Roark. I mean, they've done some things in the trade market that very few teams have. So that should give you a little bit of hope in this scouting department. But if someone wakes up tomorrow and finds out they traded those two guys, and there will be a lot of fans in this town that are irate about it, I'm not going to tell them not to be.
Yeah.
Because at some point, you got to prove you'll pay your own guys. And they'll say, well, we paid Strasburg, which, by the way, isn't working out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or we took care – they pay pitchers, and they seem to have no interest in paying bats.
So –
doesn't work for me.
So here, okay, I'm going to send you out on this one question. Percentage chance, Grant Paulson, that this time next year, with it looking very much like Juan Soto is going to get to the open market, and once he gets to the open market, I have less than zero faith in this organization being able to keep him. What is the percentage chance at the trade deadline next year? We're wondering what we could get for Juan Soto.
That's a great question. I mean, I'll say this. There's 0% chance they would trade him next year. We could start with that. Are there going to be a couple columnists saying the Nats aren't very good and they've got this unbelievable player, they should consider it? Maybe. But they wouldn't trade him with the controllability they have left of him, which is the best asset, you know, he can provide as a superstar.
Yeah.
Well, the question becomes at the end of his contract if they're not competing, if you do that. But, you know, whereas I was always kind of – livid with the Harper negotiation. And in the end, I wanted them to let him walk when Soto broke out, for the record. But like, I always thought, what are you doing? With Rendon, even more so. Harper, one way or the other, I didn't care. Rendon, I thought, was egregious not to keep him. You know, that was a killer for me. But as you, what you learn as you go is, okay, these are Boris-advised guys who aren't going to re-sign ahead of the market. They're going to get to free agency. There is no chance. And as I've kind of learned more about the business side of it, and from an agent standpoint, Soto shouldn't sign ahead of free agency, right, probably, if he right. wants the most money. Like, right. Fernando Tatis just signed a crazy $300-plus million deal, and he left $100 million on the table. I mean, we can go through the economics of that another time. But the point is, he's going to go to market. You can't get deals done. The difference with Turner was his agent is not Boris. He's a CAA guy, and his agent got a deal done with DeGrom ahead of free agency. You think that guy would do okay on the open market?
Yeah.
I mean, his agent has signed these deals. He has avoided free agency. And that was my frustration was, okay, I get it. You make the excuse. It's, a, you know, Boris, it's not us, whatever. What about Trey then? He should have been able to get a deal done a year or two ago. How are we still doing this whole throw our hands up and not know routine? So they're going to try to maybe, you know, hit, save themselves a bit here, because if you can flip him for a bunch, it'll look a lot better a few years from now, I would say.
Yeah, I would guess so. Hey, listen, Grant, we appreciate your time. I know you're at home probably relaxing, paying attention to everything that's going on. You got the draft on TV. I'm sure your phone is blowing up as well. Appreciate the 15 minutes here, man. Thank you.
This is a multi-TV night, Naki.
Indeed it is. Thank you, my friend.
That's you
Grant,
got it.
Grant Paulson. He is such a stud when it comes to baseball. He knows this stuff cold, and it'd be interesting to see how the Nats try and sell this. We're keeping an eye on all the speculation out there, all the rumors, lots going on, baseball, basketball. We're already on the 8th pick of the draft. We'll update you on the NBA draft when we get back. This is a special NBA draft edition of Overtime. Wow, we got a lot going on here, man. Just talk some baseball with Grant Paulson. Listen to Overtime here on Fan 106.7. And, you know, we plan to do an NBA draft show tonight, and that's largely what it's been. But it's hard to ignore what's going on elsewhere in the sports world. Grant just discussing the potential of both Max Scherzer and Trey Turner going to the Dodgers. And the haul would obviously have to be huge. But I just don't know how you sell that with Nats fans who are got to be frustrated with the lack of ability to play to pay, big time guys, big time players and free agents to be, elsewhere. Let's just a quick update on the draft. When last we discussed this, we had a little surprise. Jalen Suggs was headed with a 5th pick, not the 4th pick. Scotty Barnes goes 4th from Florida State. There you go. Nicely done. Jalen Suggs goes to Orlando with a 5th pick. Josh Giddey from Australia. That's a shocker right there. 6'8", small forward. How about if we go with G'day if he's from Australia, right? That sounds like a good move. 6'8", 205. He's a swing guard. That's 3 or 4 places higher than he was in most mocks. But again, we talked about this earlier on. Some teams, some GMs, some scouts just fall in love with some guys, and, you know, you're not going to dissuade them. Jonathan Kuminga, who was really picked to be in the top 5 or 6 by most mocks, ends up going in the 7th pick of the draft to Golden State, 6'8", 205. He's a bit of a project, but it's a talented kid for sure. And a surprise to me, Franz Wagner goes with the 8th pick of the draft, back to Orlando. So
joins his brother.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Mo is down there too. So how about that? Reunion time. Interesting. So we'll keep an eye on that. Fellas, I'm kind of curious to your reactions about what Grant was talking about. Yeah, let's do that. You know, it's wide open. How about we go with free form here, fellas? You can talk about, I mean, I'm sort of disgusted with the Nats and that whole Trey Turner line of thought and their inability to pony up when they need to pony up. But, like I said, I also trust in Mike Rizzo. He's done a good job here. I think he's a good GM. And, he's tasked. You never know what kind of conversations he's having with ownership about the ability to pay and to pony up. So, you know, that's kind of a variable in this situation. It's just incredibly frustrating as a fan to see guys that you sort of, you know, you enjoy watching play, you know, you part ways with you. I know it's part of the process, but Trey Turner's an all-star. Max Scherzer's been the heart and soul of this team for 7 years. It's kind of a difficult thing to watch. So, your thoughts on that, boys? I thought Grant was spot on with most of what he was saying.
I mean, I don't really follow the Nats too much, but I know you gave all this money to Strasburg, and he's never healthy. And you got Scherzer out there, who seems like he's always playing through something. And the Turner's been great. The news to me is that apparently they won't keep Soto, and I think that's an underrated story that's going to blow up soon.
There's no way with Boris repping him, as Grant said, there's no way he doesn't get to market, right? The Nats don't match guys. They don't play that game. Guys get to market, they get outbid. And so, to your point, they're not going to keep him.
What if they locked him up now before he even gets to market?
But Boris doesn't do that, though. And to Grant was saying, I wouldn't do it either if I were Boris and Soto. Because you're going to break the bank with the deal that you get if you go open market. So I have no doubt, Zach, that they've tried. I know they've tried to lock up Trey Turner. And I know they tried to lock up Rendon before he blew up. And there always seemed to be a day late and a dollar short with these guys.
Do they have a lot of money allocated outside of Strasburg? Because there's nobody really jumps out to me.
Well, I mean, obviously Max gets paid. A lot of his money was back-end money. They're paying guys. They're just not paying the big nut. You got some big breaking news, don't you?
Potential Wizard, not going to be a Wizard. Davion Mitchell is going to the Kings.
Oh, he goes early. Yeah. Well, and the Kings are where NBA players, college players go to die as NBA players. Think about the talent.
So many guards.
The talent that has gone through there. Yeah, they've got a boatload of guys. That's a good point. Yeah, De'Aaron Fox, right, is their point guard.
Does this mean Buddy Hield's on the way out now?
Can you play two 6'1 guards together, De'Aaron Fox and Davion Mitchell? I don't think that happens.
If you watch that Wizards playoff series against the Sixers, you realize that it's not a formula for success.
Yes.
And small guards.
Two of the fastest 6'1 guys in the league, they're going to be flying down the court.
Yeah, but you know, in an NBA ISO world, you kind of get tortured for that. And as much of a bulldog as Mitchell was in the NCAA tournament, I don't think he gets away with some of that stuff in the NBA, where everybody's just, you know, such a high level athlete. Well, let's take a break. We're at the top of the hour here. Got a lot to catch up on when we come back in the 9 o'clock hour. We're already 9 picks are in. Getting closer and closer to the Wizards right now.
We will have breaking news coming out of this.
Look at you. Nice tease. Good job, Linnell. You're listening to a special NBA Draft Overtime edition of Overtime. Thanks. It's not good news. I am sorry to be the bearer of this news. I'm Chris Knock. You're listening to Overtime, special NBA Draft edition of Overtime. CBS reporting that deal is done. Max Scherzer and Trey Turner to the Dodgers. For a haul of prospects. I don't know what that means necessarily. I'm not one of those guys that has the interest or the access to scout guys in minor league systems. But man, does that hurt. That is for anybody who's even remotely invested in this baseball team. I think that the Scherzer thing was to be expected. There had been some speculation on Trey Turner over the last couple of days. But throw them in together and on top of it to a team that has been a complete pain in your ass for years, the LA Dodgers, is just one of those things that leaves a rotten taste in your mouth as a local sports fan.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
That scene from Live Inside the Paulson House right there, that is tough. And I, you know, I'd be curious. And the phone lines are open if anybody wants to call and vent and rage and scream. I feel free to give us a buzz. What's that number, Linnell? Give us a quick
1-800-636-1067.
There you go.
BetQL listening line.
So it's just the Nat's going to net. You know, that's kind of what it feels like. And there's, it's not, you know, one or two times it can be an anomaly. It happens time after time after time. It's trend plus. And I don't know why you have any faith. They caught lightning to win a World Series. They caught lightning over a three-month period to win a World Series. And that seems like so long ago.
It's another example of organizational malpractice from the Washington Nationals.
How many D.C. athletes are getting traded to L.A. today? Is this it? Are we got more coming?
I mean, it's like we're a feeder system, right?
Scherzer, Westbrook, Trey Turner. Who else is going?
That's it, right? For it's what we so now. Before this all came to pass, about an hour ago, I saw that Daniel Hudson's name was included too. I don't know if he was at the end of the day, if he was included in that deal with Turner and Max. I also don't know what number of prospects the Dodgers ended up giving up, but I hope it cripples them forever. Because again, the rich, and that's also one of the reasons why I hate this so much too, is I think in a Nationals recurring nightmare, when Soto hits free agency and he walks, that's where he ends up too, and that just feels like so much salt in the wound. Obviously, the Nats paid the Dodgers back on the way to the World Series a couple of years ago. But other than that, the Dodgers, like I said, have been a complete pain in the ass to this organization for a long period of time. And I guess you got to do what you got to do. But I don't have the resources to scout minor league baseball. I hope the caller's calling to talk me off the ledge. Is that possible? Pull him up, Lino. Hey, you're listening to Overtime.
Hey, this is John in Annandale. Thanks for taking the call. I'm totally opposed to trading both of those guys. I don't like it.
Are you a season ticket holder?
No, I'm not. Just a longtime Nationals fan.
Yeah, I think there's probably a
longtime baseball fan. Scherzer, if he's willing to go, you know, if he approved it, maybe. But they can't get rid of Trey Turner. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't like it.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, John. Thank you very much. And, you know, such a difference in those two guys. You know, Max Scherzer is a 37-year-old free agent. Trey Turner is a guy who was under team control for a really modest number next year. And, you know, and ultimately the trading Max still going to get you a haul. Trading Trey Turner is treasonous.
Better be netting you some unborn children.
What if this is all part of Rizzo's plan, is to trade Scherzer to the Dodgers and then have him come back and resign with the Nationals?
I think the deal was with Max. I could be wrong, but all along they were saying Max would only agree to a trade. Remember, Max had the veto power. Max would only agree to a trade with a team that would give him a new contract. So I think that he's gone. I think the toothpaste is out of the tube on that one.
I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago with the Wizards, more than a couple of years ago, when they flipped Jameson to Cleveland.
Yeah, and he came, yeah.
And then Ilgauskas came here, and then he went back.
Yeah.
Scherzer could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I obviously, you know, you want to see that guy inducted into Cooperstown with a curly W on his hat, right? I mean, how criminal would it be for him to have that LA logo on a Cooperstown bust? That would be, and that's not going to happen, but.
We have a great change of pace on the line. Colin in Manassas says he is a fan of the deal.
Oh, sweet. Holland, you're up, man. Talk me off the ledge.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me on. So I'm a huge Nationals fan. And I try to be, and I'm trying to be non-sentimental here tonight, which is difficult because Max Scherzer is the greatest National of all time, and Trey Turner was probably the greatest Nationals trade acquisition of all time. I love those guys. They're both largely responsible for the run in 2019. But this is a necessary move for the long-term health of the organization. The team is aging. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to start selling and getting young pieces. I mean, Josiah Gray, this pitching prospect that they're going to get from the Dodgers is incredible, super high ceiling. And here's the thing with Turner. It sucks because he has another year left on his deal, but the writing's on the wall with him too, because Mike Rizzo and the Lerner family, they don't have a history of re-signing position players as they enter their walk year.
Ever.
And so Turner's going into his last year on his deal, and as soon as that last year starts, there's no way they sign him. His ceiling is continuing to rise. He's having an incredible year. He was an all-star for the first time this year. And so as much as I hate to say it, and as much as it sucks to see, we were going to lose Turner in a year. We were going to lose Max in a couple months. And so to completely bankrupt the Dodgers farm system while improving our league last farm system is painful, but it's the right move.
Well, that's the only thing you could bankrupt with the Dodgers is the farm system, because they are obviously flush with cash. So this is obviously breaking news, and there's still information forthcoming. Do you have information on who the Nats got? Because I have not seen anything. We're Wi-Fi challenged here. What are they picking up?
So Grant Paulson and Chelsea James from the Washington Post and Jesse Daugherty from the Washington Post, they've been tweeting within the last couple minutes. I can't remember the guy's first name, but Gray is his last name. He's a pitcher, the 41st best prospect in all of Major League Baseball. And, I mean, there's some high praise with this guy. There's a catcher. I can't remember this guy's name either, but it's their number two catching prospect because they just called up their number one guy. Those are the two studs that are at the top of the deal. But then there's rumored to be more as well. So basically it's better than anything the Nationals have in their system right now, because all we really have is Luis Garcia, who should be really good.
Yeah.
And then Carter Kieboom, who we've seen is kind of a bust.
He's not
so
good
we
enough.
Do need some, we need some ascended talent coming into the farm system.
Yeah. Garcia's had a really nice year in the minors.
He's been hitting .300, which has been amazing.
Yeah,
so I think he's ready, and I think he's the second baseman of the future. We just need some more guys around him.
Yeah. I was happy to see him finally get a chance. Well, I appreciate the call very much. And the information as well. All of this is very fluid, liquid, and moving pretty quickly. Thanks for the call. Yeah. You know, I don't, again, this is all, it's funny because we're watching the NBA draft. The NBA draft is one of those things that's all about upside and the future. And, you know, and you guys were talking, I think Linnell specifically was you, about, you know, the drafting a guy's such a guess, you know, and you just don't know. They're not known commodities. It seems to me that this is a very similar situation. And a guy hitting .300 in the minor leagues does not necessarily mean he's going to hit .300 or .280 in the majors. It's a guess. It's a bet. And I agree that Max, you know, you had to move Max. I think it was the right time to do that. Man, the Trey Turner thing is just a little tough to take.
I have an issue with the philosophical approach of the organization. Why is it that so I guess they've taken the approach, we are going to put all of our money and capital into our starting pitching, and our farm system is going to be responsible for our bats. But if good ones come through, you got to pay them. That's my thing.
Well, the reason that they and we're going to take a break here in a second, but the reason that Strasburg worked out is because Strasburg took a hometown discount. You know, they got him on a wink and a nod deal with the Lerner family directly. That's the way that worked out. It wasn't one where he hit the open market. The guys like aren't wired like the Strasburgs are. You know, Strasburg's wife wanted to stay here, wanted to be here, and they're the exception, not the rule. And more often than not, these guys are going to hit the market. And this family, the Lerner family, has shown absolutely no disposition to pay these guys whatsoever. Hey, this is an NBA draft edition, a special edition of Overtime. We got a lot going on in the draft, by the way. The picks keep coming. Zaire Williams at 10. We mentioned Davion Mitchell at 9. Wizards are inching closer and closer. Still no trades, which surprises me, because this is right about the time you see guys swapping picks, moving up.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'll be grabbing a guy who was already taken, and we'll see if that's the case here when we come back.
Breaking sports news on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
Yeah, we've been breaking some news here. You know, we started the show as ostensibly an NBA draft show, and we've taken a hard right turn. The show is overtime. I'm Chris Nockey, a couple guys helping me out here in the studio, but I want to make sense of what just happened with our local baseball team. Your Washington Nationals have traded not just Max Scherzer, but also Trey Turner to the LA Dodgers for a haul of prospects from that organization, and got a lot to bite off with that. I think at the start of the day, I think there were a lot of people that thought that Max would be on his way out. I think that the Trey Turner thing sort of came out of left field, as it were, if I could use that phrase, and got a bit of a surprise at the end of the day here. Joining us to make sense of it all, Matt Weirich from NBC Sports Washington. And Matt, first of all, appreciate you coming on tonight. When all this started this afternoon, the first thing I heard about was a trade with the Padres was imminent. And I thought at the time, well, that just means now everybody will start throwing in their best offers. Was Trey Turner always a part of the equation in this, or did it come in as late as it appears? Or do you know how this process sort of unfolded tonight?
Yeah. So what we're hearing, man, is it didn't seem like Trey Turner was involved in the San Diego Padres' initial offer. They went and added Adam Frazier, the all-star second baseman from the Pittsburgh Pirates, on Monday. So they kind of already fortified their infield. They have Tatis at shortstop. Now Frazier and Jake Cronenworth playing second base, switching off at first. So between all the three of those guys, it didn't seem like Turner really fit for them at all. So it did seem like that the Padres were going to be making a serious push, but the sweepstakes really came down to, okay, now, like you said, it's time to make those final offers. And the Dodgers, with this really deep prospect pool that they have, were able to swing a trade in order to get both Scherzer and Turner, which certainly came as a surprise. It makes a lot of sense for them. They have Corey Seager on the injured list right now. He should be coming back soon. Conceivably, Trey Turner will be able to shift over to second base, and Turner will also be some insurance for them. Corey Seager is a free agent this offseason, so now if they don't sign Seager, they will have Turner locked into the shortstop position for next year. So for them, it makes a lot of sense. But coming back their way, two top prospects, both considered consensus top 50 prospects in all of baseball right now, Kybert Ruiz and Josiah Gray. Ruiz is a catcher out of Venezuela. Been playing at AAA this year, OPS over 1,000, hit a lot of home runs. He had 52 games this year. So really raking from the catcher position, considered one of the top catching prospects in all of baseball. And then Josiah Gray, a right-hander, drafted in the third round back in 2018. The Dodgers got him in the Yasiel Puig, Matt Kemp trade with the Cincinnati Reds a couple of years ago. He has been electric throws from the right side, has really excelled at all levels of the minor leagues, just reached the majors this year for a little cup of coffee. So both of these guys, I think it's important to note, both these guys were in AAA this year. Both have been in the major leagues, even if only for a short time each. So these are guys that can step into the organization right away at the major league level. I would expect to see them, if not this year, then at the start of next season, both producing and playing every day for the Nationals in the majors.
You seem positive about this, Matt. Am I reading that wrong? I mean, first of all, thank you very much for the update. It's really important stuff.
How is
this playing? And you know, we live in a world of instant reactions, right? And this is a big deal in Major League Baseball. How is this playing? What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, you know, this is really shaking up that NL West race for sure. Right now, the Dodgers are in second place behind the San Francisco Giants, and it's really a three-legged race there with the Padres also involved. So this really gives the Dodgers a leg up when it comes to a playoff rotation. I mean, just having Max Scherzer or Clayton Kershaw, you know, at the top of your rotation with Walker Buehler in the mix too, I mean, that stands up with any rotation
it's
in all
crazy.
Of baseball. So the Dodgers, they have to be the favorites, you know, to come back and run this thing back and repeat this year. But, you know, as far as the Nationals are concerned, it's definitely, you know, disappointing. You know, when the Nationals are forced to sell, you know, your team is forced to sell, you never want to see your team have to, you know, hit the reset button. But I don't think that this necessarily signifies that the Nationals are going to be rebuilding. I think rather, you know, we're going to be seeing them retool. They didn't go out and get these prospects who are 18, 19, 20 years old. You know, these guys are 23, 24, ready to make an impact at the major league level right now. You know, this is a point where the Nationals can continue to sell at the deadline, get, you know, move a couple more contracts that are going to be expiring at the end of this year. Guys like Daniel Hudson, guys like Yan Gomes, Josh Harrison, you know, trade a couple of those guys, and then they come back next year and retool, go into free agency, fill in the gaps where the prospects can't, and then see what you can do with a much younger core, a core that will be around a lot longer. So it certainly provides some excitement for the future, because the National farm system, you know, was kind of consensus worst in baseball coming
yep.
this year. So
yep.
really being able to add this talent to top 50 prospects, I mean, Cade Cavalli has really broken out this year and kind of moved into that top 50, but they haven't had a top 50 prospect since Carter Kieburn was at his peak of prospect status. So this is definitely really big for them sustaining being a contender long term.
You know, looking at it from the Dodgers' perspective, I know you don't, you know, it's not easy to give up on, like you said, so many of your top prospects. But they had to have a little California envy out there with what the Giants are doing to the north and the Padres to the south. They haven't been challenged like this in some time in that division. And do you sense any desperation there, or it was just the right time and the right two guys to get?
Yeah, no. With the blows that the Dodgers have had in their rotation this year, you know, they lose Dustin May to Tommy John surgery. Trevor Bauer is, of course, wrapped up in the allegations, and he's, you know, might not even return this year. Clayton Kershaw's on the injured list right now. This rotation has really suffered a beating. You know, they're having to rely on guys like David Price, who really hasn't lived up to expectations this year for what they're paying him. You know, they really needed that extra in that rotation, and so do the Padres. You know, to their credit, you know, they really could have used, you know, Blake Snell has not been as advertised. They go out and make a big trade to get him over the offseason. He really hasn't been that guy. So the Padres really could have used him at the top of the rotation, but instead the Dodgers get him, so it's kind of a double-edged sword there, because not only do they get to fortify their own rotation, but they're taking away the consensus top arm available on the trade market right now. So that's really big for them. You know, I wouldn't say that they're necessarily desperate. You know, for them to move on from Josiah Gray and Kaibert Ruiz, they're kind of taking away from areas of strength for them. You know, they have mm-hmm. Will Smith at catcher right now. He's pretty young, locked into a, you know, long-term contract. They're going to have him locked in at catcher for a while. You know, their rotation, they, like I said, they have Dustin May. Tony Gonsolin has been a revelation for them, pitching out of the rotation. He's been awesome, you know, for them to him to be at the back end. I think that they feel good about their pitching and catching depth moving forward, where this doesn't necessarily drain them in an area where they really are going to need to pull from in the next couple of years.
So last question for you, Matt, before we go to break. How do you sell this? You know, I mean, Nats fans, the base of Nats fans, really aren't in tune with who these prospects are. All they know is in recent years they have lost out in consecutive, you know, years on Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon, now Trey Turner gone. I think Scherzer was inevitable given the age and the free agency. I get that. I know how that works. But how do you – I mean, there's a lot of angst in Nats Nation out there right now.
You know, I think, you know, the big thing is losing Turner hurts, right? Like, yeah. Turner is a guy who's one of the faces of the World Series team. He's been, it was a first-time All-Star this year. He belonged to the Nationals, right? Like, he, you know, they didn't necessarily draft him. They traded for him when he was still a prospect. But he came up with the team. They developed him. He was, you know, a rookie for them and really has been All-Nationals all his career. It hurts to lose a guy like that. There's no doubt. And you know, getting over that emotional toll is something that every fan's going to have to reconcile with. But I think that, you know, as we move forward and we look at where the Nationals go from here, you know, the number one priority for the Nationals' entire future has got to be re-signing Juan Soto. And now with, you know, Turner's contract not necessarily inhibiting things, you have to think that that's got to be priority number one for the Nationals. So I think if anything, this solidifies the Nationals are building around Juan Soto for the long term. Your priority is going to be re-signing him. And then, you know, Mike Rizzo went on 106.7 yesterday and literally said, you know, we want to retool. We're not, you know, in the business of rebuilding. You know, I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, he mm-hmm. made it clear that, you know, this is a team that plans on contending in the short and long term. Now they're just younger. And the Nationals, when they won the World Series, they were the oldest team in baseball. Something like this was going to have to happen. When you contend for literally 10 years in a row going to every season with World Series aspirations, at a certain point, you're going to have to kind of take a step back and, you know, retool a little bit. And the Nationals were at a point where, you know, Max Scherzer, with 2 months left on his contract, were able to flip him, obviously, along with Trey Turner, and get two top 50 prospects. You got to consider that a win if you're the Nationals. So, you know, and especially for guys that are really close to the majors, guys that are going to be able to make an impact in the short term. I'm really interested to see what happens over these next few months because it's going to be an important offseason. And one last thing, you know, I know you're going to break. This mega shortstop free agent class is going to be something to watch because now that the Nationals have traded Trey Turner, they should be considered in play for players like Trevor Story, Corey Seager, Javier Baez.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You know, all these big names that are going to be available this offseason, the Nationals now have an opening at shortstop. And so if they're willing to spend the money, they certainly should be considered contenders for those guys.
All right, Matt Weirich, NBC Sports Washington. Appreciate the insight, man. Very good stuff.
Absolutely. Click on it.
All right. That's excellent stuff. Hey, and by the way, your Washington Wizards are on the clock. Moses Moody just got taken by Golden State. When we come back, we'll see what the Wizards have in mind. I'm thinking Corey Kispert right here. That's what it's feeling like right now. You're listening to Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Man, we have a lot going on tonight. We you know what's funny? I'm in here like once a year. I swear to God, I lead the breaking news, you know, cut-ins here. This is great. You know, by the way, I'm Chris Nocke. The name of the show is Overtime. Got a lot of help in here. My guy Zach Brook is here. Linnell is here with us as well. Years ago when I first started working in some sports talk radio, I had a guy, you know, I went in one day and there was nothing going on. It was the heat of summer. And I said, gosh, there's nothing going on. You know, what are we going to talk about today? Rule of thumb is something always happens. Tonight, everything happened. Man, what a day in sports. What a week in sports for local sports fans. Not all of it good, but certainly all of it transitional and transformational. Wizards are on the clock right now, and they're about to pick. Just to give you a quick update on where we've been with the NBA draft, James Bouknight, 6'5 swing guard from UConn, goes to Charlotte with a number 11 pick. Josh Primo from Alabama, prolific three-point shooter, 6'5", 189. He goes from Alabama to the Spurs. Chris Duarte, who we talked about, finished product from Oregon, goes at 13 to the Indiana Pacers. That's a good pickup for them. And Moses Moody dropped. He was picked as high as 7th or 8th. He goes to Golden State. That's a good pickup for Golden State. 6'6", 211, swing guard from Arkansas. Played just 1 year for the Razorbacks, but certainly had a great year and really thrived in that Eric Musselman system, where they got up and down the court. Wizards are on the clock. Best fits for them at this point in time would be a guy like Corey Kispert. They need the shooting. Kai Jones, certainly a possibility. He comes into play here. And it'd be interesting to see, given the trade of Westbrook, what the thought processes are in that war room, what they might consider doing here. Because, I mean, at this point in time, there are a lot of variables. It also kind of comes into play what you're going to do with those other pieces that you got from the Lakers. Are you packaging guys? Are you looking to move guys elsewhere? You know, there was speculation that they would move a couple of those pieces they got from the Lakers for Spencer Dinwiddie, who is a very nice player. Didn't get a chance to play this year for Brooklyn. He was hurt bad knee most of the year. But he is a guy who wants out of Brooklyn, and he can really go. He can really play. And the notion of him and Bradley Beal in the backcourt is something that's pretty attractive. I mean, assuming health for Spencer Dinwiddie. But on the other side of the Wizards, you got Oklahoma City, Memphis. Oklahoma City picks again at 18. And again, they're a team that came into this draft with an awful lot of collateral. And I'm wondering if they aren't this year's Boston Celtics. You know, fellas, one of the issues with Danny Ainge is, you know, and Danny Ainge caught fire a little bit. You know, he did a pretty nice job. He got the big three together, but he sat on draft picks too long, and he never turned those picks into home runs, you know, and they do you no good sitting in your pocket. Like he, you know, just sat on those things for too long.
Well, as I'm a longtime Celtics fan.
Oh, are you?
So I'm still waiting for Sullinger to pan out. That's not going to happen, but they don't have a first this year. They traded it to the Thunder in exchange for the trade that brought them back Al Horford. But yeah, Ainge, it's interesting dynamic with obviously with Ainge stepping away and Stevens taking that mantle, I think, until he gets another head coaching job. But right now, there's been rumors that Smart's available. There's been some people linking Jaylen Brown to D.C., sending Beal back up there.
Talked about that before you came in here, yeah. Zach. And I asked, you know, I asked Linnell if Jaylen Brown was amenable because he was adamant about not trading. But if you do get Beal up there, then everybody else is on the block. You can't keep Marcus Smart. You've got to include some players in that trade along with Jaylen Brown as well. So you got, you know, I mean, that team looks dramatically different with a trade like that. You're looking like Romeo Langford probably gone as a piece of that, Williams as well. So there are a lot of and I think there are a lot of teams too that are looking. I think that a team like Boston understands that being, I used the term earlier, being mired in Middle Earth is just not good enough. And it not only is it's frustrating to a fan base that's used to better. And I think they also, they're in that Northeast corridor. They've got Brooklyn envy. They've got Philly envy. Philly's got to piss them off as successful as with the collection of talent that Philly has. And keep in mind too, they passed on Jason Tatum. They passed on Jason Tatum for Marco Fultz. So as good as they are right now, they could be just one hell of a lot better.
But you're giving Philly the benefit of the doubt there. Boston had the number one pick, knew they wanted Tatum, traded down, and yep. Philly didn't get the bait, took Fultz, and now Fultz is in Disney World.
Orlando. So, yeah, you know, a lot going on here, and we're still waiting on the Wizards. There's a little bit of a timeout but it looks like Corey Kispert, the ESPN cameras have focused in on him, seems to be the most likely pick, you know, and most of the smart guys leading into this all sort of deemed shooting as priority number one for this team. Certainly there are good players available out there as well. And Kai Jones, you know, very popular pick. There are several athletes available. And if the Wiz opt to go that way, and it is Corey Kispert who gets the call. So they opted for a polished guy, skilled player, proven sharpshooter, guy who lit it up from the three-point line for Gonzaga this year, had a remarkable season for a team that was loaded with NBA-level talent. So hard to argue with a pick. Again, I liked prior to the draft, I thought maybe if Duarte was available for him, he might be a better pick. But it's almost like Kispert is from that same cut of cloth.
David Aldridge just tweeted, he just tweeted, apparently he heard from a college coach that Kispert reminds him a lot of Wally Szczerbiak. So that could be an interesting comp.
Well, Szczerbiak, you know, very prolific scorer when he played for Minnesota in the league. He had some good years. He played alongside Kevin Garnett, you know, and the problem was at that point in time, the team wasn't good enough. And then they let Garnett, you know, traded Garnett to the Celts, and the rest is history. Kevin Garnett in the NBA Hall of Fame, has he got Celtics gear on, or he's not wearing T-Wolves stuff? And I guess that's maybe not like the MLB Hall of Fame where you have to pick a cap to go in.
No, yeah, I think probably Celtics, maybe T-Wolves, but also it's worth noting Kispert's Rui's guy. So Gonzaga,
that's
East.
True.
Wizards are now Gonzaga East.
Yeah. I think the jury's a little bit out on Rui. This is a big year coming up for him. You know, he showed flashes, maybe played out of position for a good portion of the year, but Obviously, just a big year for him. We're efforting to get some conversation here just before we close tonight from somebody from the Wizards organization. I would think that I know there's a party tonight for a draft party there for season ticket holders, as there is usually. I think there's some excitement with what's going on. And boy, given the trade of Russell Westbrook earlier in the day, this is a lot different Wizards team tonight than it was this afternoon. And again, I like what they did on the Westbrook side of things. I'll see how it plays out, but I can't believe all those guys are going to end up making it to D.C. You know, by the time you have that welcome press conference here in a couple of days, some of those guys will be farmed out elsewhere, and they become assets and just a part of the puzzle, whether it's here or more likely elsewhere. So, yeah, there's a lot to play out here. Still, stunningly, no trades. No trades. We're basically an hour and a half, hour and 45 into this. Normally by now, you will have seen teams swap positions, not even anything for a second-round guy, you know, or a second-round pick. So very rare indeed. But we may be getting to that point here where teams decide that there's somebody that they want to try and steal. There's certainly a number of players available. Keon Johnson from Tennessee is one of those guys that graded out to a freak level. Cam Thomas from LSU, outstanding player as well. A lot of good players still on the board.
So a trade just came in, actually.
Ding, ding, ding.
It is from Adrian Wojnarowski's reporting. Oklahoma City's traded the 16th pick to Houston in exchange for two future first-round picks. So Houston just jumped up to 16.
Houston jumps up to 16. Houston already picked Jalen Green with the second pick of the draft. And, those have to be lottery. It's too early to tell. They have to be lottery protected picks, because I can't imagine Houston expects to be, you know, good right away. I mean, they were awful. They were dreadful this year. So I would imagine those things are lottery protected. But, hey, we'll see. Breaking news all the time. Again, right? We still got 16 minutes to go. Let's see what else we can dig up. You're listening to Overtime. I'm Chris Nockey. Be back in just a second. We have had an eventful 3 hours here. No question about it. I'm Chris Nockey. The show is Overtime. Also got Zach Brook with me, Linnell Willingham as well. And fellas, you guys get an extra Gatorade after this show, okay? I want you to hydrate. I get a good night's sleep, because you guys worked your asses off in here. We've had so much going on. Started with, this seems like it was a week ago now. Started with speculation earlier in the show that a trade was imminent with Max Scherzer and the Padres. Okay, we fast forward. Now all of a sudden we get a Woj bomb just as we get to the studio together that Russell Westbrook may be traded to the Lakers and, you know, for a whole boatload of players. So we're seeing that. And then all of a sudden, I mean, the NBA draft starts. We got all these things going on. And then, bam, not only is Max Scherzer traded, but it's not to the Padres. And it's with Trey Turner. Both those guys traded at the same time for a haul of LA Dodgers prospects. We'll see where that goes. Nats fans have... You know, I mean, right now I'm thinking that they believe that Mike Rizzo and the Learners have some splaining to do, as they say. But Wizards pick Corey Kispert from Gonzaga. That happened. The trade was consummated with Russell Westbrook, so that happened. Wizards look completely different today than they did yesterday.
Apparently Washington is trading the monument back to France. They don't want to pay it. So we're
okay. Okay, but they did it. It came over here in pieces. Are they going to do it? Or are they just going to do it?
I don't know. They'll figure it out. Bezos has got everything going on in Arlington. They can ship it. They'll figure it out.
That's funny. Well, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But as little luck as they've had with international pieces, maybe they do want to wash their hands of that sort of business. So, at any rate, the Wiz got the guy that I think they needed or they wanted at 15. Corey Kispert, nice polished player. Now all of a sudden you get the international contingent start to be taken. Memphis Grizzlies currently on the clock. This is when you see a guy like Kai Jones as a complimentary piece to Ja Morant. A guy like Kai Jones getting out on the break, and that's a pretty good combination right there, along with some younger pieces that team has. So it How long will it take, guys, before you start to see the articles and the tweets about winners and losers in the NBA draft? Or has it already started? Because I don't have my Wi-Fi is not good out here.
Normally after the first round, I know Bleacher Report normally always does it, but we'll see what happens. A lot of good takes that people can expose later on.
And there's always, you know, anytime somebody does something outside the box, there's always a whoa moment. You know, the Australian taking it six, Giddy taking it six by OKC is one of those things. You know, gosh, he was projected to be at 8, 9, 10. That's not that big a difference, but somebody's going to say, boy, they took him way, way too early. You know, Scotty Barnes, I think Scotty Barnes going at 4 is fine. You know, that's, you know, he's a 6'9 sort of jack of all trades, Swiss Army knife type guy. So you're not going to get a whole lot of grief. But I'm on CBS. I just was able to get CBS up, and they've already got the grades alongside each draft pick. It didn't take long. G'day is the only B in the top. Oh, no, Franz Wagner in the top 10 has a B as well. Lots of A's all around. Yeah, this is like spring training. You're supposed to win spring training. You know, hope springs eternal. So, you know, in everybody's mind, they got the guy they want. The Spurs, incidentally, who have done a pretty good job drafting guys over the years, they took Josh Primo. That's the only C on the board from CBS at this point in time. He's a pretty good player in my estimation. And Corey Kispert gets an A from CBS. So opinions are like rear ends. You know, everybody's got one. And we'll see what happens with it. Everybody's in the grading business. What do you got, Leno?
I'm just remembering Washington is going to be on the clock here again soon. We'll be
22.
Off the air by that time.
22.
And I'd love if Sharif Cooper was on the board there
to
pull the trigger on that.
So that is, to me, is one of the jewels of this draft that's getting no love. I saw earlier today that in a draft that he was predicted to be in one of the first picks of the second round. He has the best handle of a college kid.
His combine workout was
crazy.
Warrior, man.
Yeah. And I watching him play for Auburn this year. They were a completely different team with him than they were without him. He's an electric presence, and he's also one of those guys that'll get people in your building. You know, exciting young player. But I have to believe that point guard is next on the want list, right? You lost your starting point guard.
Need something.
You also lost a guy who averaged, well, the shooting splits weren't great. He averaged a triple-double the last half of the season. So you're losing a lot of pieces and a lot of production there. So, you know, got to get somebody who's game ready.
I got a sleeper for you.
What do you got?
How about Cameron Crutwig with the 22nd pick from Loyola
Chicago?
No. 6'8 guy.
I don't – you know what? He couldn't jump over a Pabst Blue Ribbon can. There's a line between being a really good college player, being an NBA guy. He could get away with stuff. The level of athleticism is just so elite in the NBA. I loved his game and his work ethic and the fact that he could okey-doke and trick players at every turn. But I don't see – is he on any boards?
He's number 84 best available right now.
So. Yeah. But guy like that, though, it's a global game. Guy like that could go make bank somewhere and be a very successful guy. And, you know, but I just don't see it happening here in the USFA. So still waiting to see a couple of locals specifically interested to see if Aaron Wiggins gets the nod. He has moved up pretty dramatically. It wasn't that long ago. He was struggling to be included in the top 100. Now he's on most draft boards in the second round. Usually in the back half of the second round. My guess is that his decision to go to the NBA was probably aided by the fact that some team told him that they would make him a two-way player and guarantee him a certain amount of money, because otherwise he would have come back and I think been a star in College Park. But guys come and guys go. Just happens, you know? So, all right, boys, nice work. So wrap it up for me. Who do you like? What was the shocker of the night for you? Trey Turner? Was it Westbrook? All of the above?
Probably the Nats news, man. Even though I'm not the biggest baseball guy, they they rub some people the wrong way, and it's going to be I'm going to be tuned into the Junkies tomorrow morning 100% at 6 o'clock to get the latest reaction and news on that, because I imagine the sports world around here is going to be in a frenzy throughout the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. And it particularly, you know what, it kind of a nice juxtaposition where the Capitals re-signed Ovechkin at age 35. So what do you got, Zach, as we're wrapping it up?
Wi-Fi wasn't great. The draft's still going, so we're getting there. But it's been a very interesting night in D.C. sports for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sad to see those guys go, but again, guys do come and go. Listen, appreciate all the calls that we had tonight. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate the opportunity to sit in here. More than anything, I appreciate you guys. Linnell, Zach, appreciate the time, the contributions as well. You've been listening to The Overtime on 106.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.